This is Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour. I'm Casey Oxendine alongside Tim Loy for this very special Valor Fights 42 preview edition. Of course, Valor Fights 42 goes down this Saturday night. That's April 15th at Cobb County High School in Newport, Tennessee. It's going to be a big night of action, Tim.
Yeah, man, we're excited. It's always a really fun time in Newport. Newport loves the fights. That's one of those towns that really supports the fights, and they love to come out and just have a good fun time. And it's going to be a good one, man. And I'm excited to be back with you and Vince tonight as well. I'm excited to hear that our numbers are going up. We're according to Jason, we are at an all time high on people out there listening to what we're spouting out.
Yeah, it's doing big things. And, of course, we have two special guests in the house tonight that we're going to speak to later. That's Cole Farrell and Stephen Haag. But we have a very special guest right here with us right now. It's Vince Ferrara. Of course, he is the play-by-play announcer for Valor Fights, but he has done so much more, Vols Radio and everything you could think about. Vince, how are you doing tonight?
Great to be with you guys. Doing great. I hope you guys are as well. Thanks for having me. You guys are crushing it with the Valor Hour, and just honored to be a part of it.
Well, man, this is the thing. We've taken tonight's episode, and we are knocking out all the rest of the stuff. No national stuff, whatever. It's all about Valor Fights of 42, and we are going to talk through literally every single fight of the night. Of course, we're going to give our thoughts on the fight, and then we're going to give our picks. Of course, mine and Vince. Tim's going to remain neutral as the promoter and the president of Valor Fights, but you and I, we're going to be talking all night long on Saturday night, and we might as well give our picks now. And if we don't get it right, they've proven us wrong, and we'll have to eat crow. But if we get it right, then we get a gold star for the night. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. Of course, the first fight of the night is amateur Muay Thai. It's in the welterweight division, for kickboxing, which is 147 pounds. It's Chase Underwood facing Stephen Tanner. Chase Underwood fighting out of Warren Brooks BJJ in Crossville, Tennessee. And he's taking on Stephen Tanner, who is another debut out of Bullman's Kickboxing in Knoxville. Tim, talk about this fight.
Well, we always say get there early for these, this is one of our dark matches. This won't be, on the stream. But for the people that get there early, you can always see some pretty good action on the dark side of the card. We got three, I think, on this one. And we expect these guys to get us started with a bang there for the live crowd to get us all kind of warmed up. It's Muay Thai there. And, it's going to be Chase Underwood, who's trained by DJ Mackey out there in Crossville. He has already had a fight. He fought with the Warriors Den group a couple years ago, I guess. And then he had a military deployment that sent him off, and now he's back and ready to get in there and bang. That's about all I can really tell you about him. And I can tell you even less about Stephen Tanner, because he's never competed at all. But we do know he is coming out of a good team there with Terry Bullman, who, is a legendary kickboxer himself. And we're just excited to have somebody from his group out here fighting. They don't typically get out and compete at the events, and that they've got some guys on this one is definitely exciting.
Vincent, hey, the first fight of the night, it's going to be amateur Muay Thai, of course. No knees to the head, but they do allow the clinch work and the knees to the body, a little bit different than the K-1 stuff that we're used to calling. What is your take on this matchup?
Well, it's haven't seen either one of these two guys, but I can tell you that Terry Bullman is an absolute beast, as you guys know. and was honored to call one of his fights when we saw him back in back in Knoxville at the International, I think, is when we saw him last. And
February, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so he's the first fighter outside of Terry to fight out of that Bullman camp. And, you know, even though Terry was upset that night, he has a tremendous gym. I know several people that work out in there as part of personal training and just to get better at the fight sport training. So I'm going to go with Steven Tanner. Probably a little bit of an upset because we haven't seen him. Chase Underwood has one kickboxing bout under his belt. You mentioned training under DJ Mackey, but like the camp of Terry Bowman. So just on a little bit of a hunch, I'll go Steven Tanner.
Great. Well, in my estimation here, I'm gonna agree with you on that one. I'm gonna pick Steven Tanner as well. And really, the biggest thing is that DJ Mackey is a primarily a grappling instructor. You know, so this is a BJJ guy fighting in mixed martial arts, and where you know there is fisticuffs involved. And so I'm gonna go with the guy who's used to producing knockout artists. So. Definitely, I think it's going to be a great fight, though, and I think it's going to kick off a great night of fights. Now, moving on to fight number two. This is also an amateur Muay Thai bout. This time, it's in the super cruiserweight division at 202 pounds, and it's Ronnie Williams. He's a debut fighter out of Combat Kings in Athens, Georgia. Of course, that's Ace and Ashley Samples, taking on Wes Monarch, another debut out of Bullman's Kickboxing there in Knoxville. Tim, talk about this matchup.
You know, again, it's kind of a mystery, but, we've got another guy out of Bullman's, Wes Monarch will be making his debut, and don't know what to expect. We know he comes from a camp that is, that's going to have him ready. And, he's fighting a guy that comes from another camp that's known to produce solid striking in Combat Kings there. So, Ace is very high on this guy. I have not seen either guy, but Ace is definitely very, very high on Ronnie and speaks highly of him. And, I don't expect Ace to bring anybody up here that's not ready.
Vincent, your take.
Well, it's, I think, very similar to the first one. Like you guys mentioned, don't know a ton about either one of them. And I wonder about Ronnie Williams only training for a couple of months. I'm sure that Ace feels great about him as an athlete, but in kickboxing, it's going to be a little bit different. And with Wes Monarch having trained under Terry Bowman in that camp, they've been working on this. And working on kickboxing in that camp. So I don't know exactly the time frame of what time experience training kickboxing, but I'm gonna default on that again on a little bit of a hunch because of the camp, and I'll go Wes Monarch.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and, keep it interesting and pick Ronnie Williams out of the Combat Kings. And that way we'll have a little bit of fun with it. And of course, if I lose, then you can stick it in my face. But I think it's going to be a great fight regardless. Two tremendous camps and really an excellent fight just for the second night of the evening. Fight number three, amateur mixed martial arts. This will be the first MMA bout of the night. It's a catchweight at 150 pounds. David Denton, a debut. He's an independent out of Jefferson City, Tennessee. It's really close to Newport, so kind of a local there. Taking on Dalton Gurrell, 1-2, another independent out of Newport proper right there. So he is definitely a local. I think this one's one that guys are, both of these guys are going to mix it up. Tim, talk about the fight.
You know, this is one of those that it's hard to say what'll happen. Dalton Gurrell's fought for us, I guess, three times now. And, he didn't have we put him in really hard in his first couple of fights. And he's been fighting on, pretty much he fights when we come to Newport. And, he got in there. He's in there tough for his first couple of fights. But this last one, he was probably an underdog again to Hunter Lewis. And I remember Hunter Lewis hit him right out of the gates and, like, he sent him like flying. It was crazy.
Well,
like,
that video is airing right now. I saw that.
That clip from Flow.
Flow Combat put that up, right?
Yeah. Flow Combat put a little snippet of it up, and like Hunter, he hits him out of the gate, and he literally leaves his feet and goes flying. And I was like, oh man, shit. He's knocked him out here. And no, I like Hunter too. I like both those guys. But I thought it was, that was it. And they actually didn't show how the rest of the fight went. But he ended up, Gorilla ended up catching him with an armbar. So he actually came back and won that fight. He's a tough kid and pretty tall and lanky for the weight class. I don't know much about Denton at all. He hit me up. He's served some time and has gotten out and is looking to use this platform to try to just turn his life around, so props to him for getting a constructive outlet in that regard. And that being said, I don't know if he can fight or not. We'll see. That's why it's on the dark side. We shoot straight.
Man, most definitely. Vincent, we're talking about a guy, Dalton Gorrell, that we've seen before. And then David Denton, who he just mentioned, he spent some time, behind bars per se. This is a, one could make an argument that time there is a very intense time and, can really prime you for being ready for mixed martial arts competition, for fighting. What's your take on the fight?
Well, with Denton, you would expect that it hardens guys. It really increases their toughness. So you would expect him to bring that to the table. The only thing is, this is mixed martial arts, and how advanced is his game, and how much has he been able to work on techniques, fundamentals, footwork, things that you're going to need against a guy that has some experience. And we've called Dalton Gorrell's fights, I think all three of them. And I mean, Joshua Spears, Creighton Chevelle, and you mentioned having early adversity against Hunter Lewis and then finishing that in a minute seven of the first round. So I think that's a great sign that he is improving. And then unofficially, I have a 7-inch height advantage for Dalton Gorrell as well at 6'2 versus 5'7. So from a familiarity standpoint and some of those things, I'm going to go and make my pick as Dalton Gorrell.
Well, I tend to agree with you there. I'm going to go ahead and go with Dalton Gorrell as well, just on pure experience. We've not seen David Denton. He may be a fire plug on fire on Saturday night, but we would never know until we see him in action. But from what I see, it's definitely going to be Dalton Gorrell. Now, fight number four, another amateur mixed martial arts bout in the bantamweight division. That's 135 pounds. It's Daquan Sutton. He's 0-1 out of Local Legends in Morristown, Tennessee, taking on Franklin Brown, also 0-1 out of Newport Combat Club. Tim, this one's very interesting. Identical records with these two.
Yeah, this will be the first fight to kick off the main card. And honestly, when I was putting the card order together, I was considering putting this on the dark side. But then I was like, man, I have a feeling that these guys are going to come out and really let it hang out. I know that both guys really want to get a win. They're both at home. They're both kind of scrappy little dudes, I actually think they're going to go out there and put on a pretty good show. And I think it's going to be the kind of fight that's going to get the crowd kind of rocking early for our main card on Flow Combat. So, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? We saw you've seen Franklin, but Sutton, I don't think you weren't at the Knoxville show, but Vince was. And he looked, his stand-up was pretty good. He ended up losing to one of Shane Hill's guys by submission, but he was winning the striking exchanges from what I recall.
Well, you've spoken to Trevor, who's training him, training Franklin, and you said that he is very adamant that Franklin's prepared this time. Like, he has really improved a lot. He's kind of turned around his training and really focused. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, I do, because speaking to Trevor and Casey Crum and those guys at Newport Combat Club, they're a small little team there in Newport, but they're a very prideful group. And they kind of take offense when some of the other guys in the area try to claim them as their team. So they were very upfront about the guys that had been training and been putting in the work and who could claim the Newport Combat Club, team name, you know, to rep them for this show. And there was, you know, some guys that are on this card that would want to do such that aren't, that they won't allow to do such. But, you know, Franklin Brown is not one of those. They told me that he has been putting in the time and he has been training. So, you know, I expect we'll see the best Franklin Brown we've seen.
Vincent, your take on this matchup?
Well, certainly Franklin Brown, when he's been in the inside with Preston Schick, who's the Valor Fights featherweight champion, but that was in kickboxing. It's been a while. It's been longer for Franklin Brown, too. He hasn't been in the cage since late 2015, where Daquan Sutton, that bout with David Davis, where he lost, and I agree with you, Tim, and my recollection is he was showing out really well in that fight, and he was submitted by RNC in the second round, about midway through. But I thought he had atoned himself well in that one. I'm going to go Daquan Sutton. Both of these are young guys. They're a little bit on the shorter side. You know, obviously, in the weight class and bantamweight, you would expect that, but 2-0-1 records. But in what I've seen from Sutton, it was impressive. He's been in there more recently, so I'm going to go Daquan Sutton.
All right. Well, I'm going to, you know, again, just to make it interesting, I know Franklin Brown very well, and you know, I've seen, you know, just impressed with the, you know, the talk from Trevor Wilds and you know, about his improvement and so forth. I'm going to go with Franklin Brown, of course. If it doesn't go that way, then Vince is going to have some bragging rights over me. So, but that's okay. Fight number five, another amateur MMA bout in the featherweight division. It's Jake Clevenger. He's a debut out of Rush MMA and American Top Team in Macon, Georgia, taking on Austin Clemens, another debut out of Graves BJJ in Lebanon, Tennessee. Graves BJJ, this is the first representative of that camp. Tim, talk about it.
You know, this one's kind of a mystery, and you know, I don't do it on purpose, but I kind of notice, like, the two slot, once we, like, go onto the main card, usually the second fight is always, like, two young, you know, good debuting studs that are like 18, 19 years old that always put on a good fight. And that's kind of what I'm expecting here. I really don't know a whole lot about them. I know they're both young. I know they're both, you know, I actually can't for sure tell you that Clemens is only 18 or 19. I think he is, but I know that Clevenger is only 18, and Bubby has been trying to get him on cards now for a few months. And we kept having issues with guys kind of falling out and things like that. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't know what to expect out of Graves BJJ. I expect they'll be good grapplers. I believe both guys are around the blue belt level. You know, I don't I expect we'll see a good fight between two young prospects.
Vincent, your take?
Yeah, I think same way. Don't know a ton about either one of these two guys, but I'm going to defer to the camp. We've seen American Top Team in Macon. I mean, obviously, in Florida as well, but at the Macon camp, we've seen some guys really produce and show out. So, you know, when you train with Bubby Mitchell and guys in that camp, even at 18 years old, you can be successful, especially in amateur MMA debut at 18. So I'm going to go Jake Clevenger.
Absolutely. I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to go with Jake Clevenger as well. It's hard to pick against the Rush MMA camp, you know, the American Top Team camp there in Macon, Georgia, if you don't know a ton about the opponent. But, you know, I think it's going to be a great fight, well-matched fight, as always, at Valor Fights 42. Next up, fight number six. It's a middleweight bout at 185 pounds. Kevin Wills, 0-1 out of American Top Team Asheville, North Carolina, taking on Rodrigo Martinez, a debut out of Cerbatech Martial Arts in Knoxville, Tennessee, a camp we've not seen before. Tim, give a little insight about this camp and about this fight as a whole.
More mysteries. You know, it's this one I kind of expect to be a really fun one, though, for some reason. You know, Kevin Wills, I really don't know what to expect. I know that team from Asheville there, American Top Team in Asheville, they always bring guys that are prepared and, generally they're all kind of characters too, it seems like. And so we'll see if this guy can kind of live up to the Jordan Owenbees and his predecessors from that team. But, you know, I'm from Cervatec. This is the first fighter they've had compete in MMA. From the best of my deduction skills, which are limited, I kind of peg this group as a traditional martial arts group. They're in Knoxville. They are led by a gentleman named Jerry McCleary, who I believe is a transplant from maybe around the Texas area. So, you know, he's come to Knoxville and has opened up a gym, and this is his first guy, and we will see what they can do.
Vince, your thoughts?
Honestly, I mean, being based in Knoxville, I wish I knew more about that Cervatec martial arts camp. I'm definitely going to look into him a little bit more. First time we've seen him, as you guys mentioned, on a Valor Fights card. But you know, Kevin Willis from that other team, American Top Team camp, you know, certainly, you know, losing to Josh Cumby, which is who's going to be on the card and who we'll talk about a little bit later on, is certainly nothing to you know, to apologize for. You know, just from the familiarity in camp, you tend to go with Kevin Wills. But hey, I'm going to go, just not knowing much about either one of them, I'm going to go with the Cervatec camp and Rodrigo Martinez and see what they produce.
Oh wow! Okay, well, I'm going to go with Kevin Wills. It's hard to go against American Top Team against an untested team. I know that even though he's 0-1, like you said, he did lose that fight to Josh Cumby, who is undoubtedly one of the top prospects moving into this year and on in the future. So I'm going to take Kevin Wills in that fight, but I think it's going to be a great matchup. Next up, a catchweight at 165 pounds. Patrick Johnson, a debut out of Local Legends in Morristown, taking on Ruben Gerardo, also a debut out of SSF Submission Academy, a camp that we know extremely well. Tim, your take?
You know, this is our last of our kind of mystery fights. After this, we have a little bit of working knowledge with everyone on the card. And, you know, for debuts, both these guys look like they're put together. Both these guys are in shape. They're jacked. And, you know, I don't really know what to expect besides two really, like, big shredded up dudes making their debuts. With Gerardo coming from SSF and having military background, I imagine he's probably there at Fort Campbell, whereas, you know, most of the military guys that are in that area are. He is probably going to have the skill advantage on paper. But, you know, looking at Patrick Johnson, who is he trains with Daquan Sutton. I think he is the trainer of that group, that Local Legends group. I just don't know a lot about his background. He hasn't competed yet. But, you know, looking at him, he's certainly, you know, he's in shape.
Vincent, your take on this matchup?
Well, I'm going to go with Gerardo. With that camp at SSF, and when you've got Corey Alexander, Nate Landwehr, they come out of that camp, and you've traveled a little bit coming over from North Carolina, even though he's younger at 22, it's a debut for both of these guys. I'm going to side with him on that background. And Patrick Johnson training with Daquan Sutton is impressive, but I'm going to go with Gerardo, the younger guy with the impressive camp.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Gerardo as well. It's hard to go against the SSF Academy when you don't have a gym that is really tested in that way. I mean, SSF has definitely been around for a long time, and they've got a lot of accolades. The next bout is, between two guys that we know very well, a lightweight bout at 155 pounds, Lathan Lawson, 3-3 out of Rush MMA, an American Top Team, taking on Leo Woods, 2-2, an independent in Newport, Tennessee. Two very contrasting styles, but two tough guys that are willing to mix it up and throw heavy leather. Tim, your take?
Yeah, man, this is definitely a contrasting, a contrast of styles and body types, if you will. Leo is one of the tallest tallest dudes around in the lightest weights, you know, but Lathan's more of a short, like, fire plug kind of guy, but he's very powerful. And so, you know, on paper, this one's, you know, I think it's 2-2 versus 3-3. It's, you know, we'll see if either guy can kind of emerge here and kind of take a step into the title contention at 155. That whole picture has been a little murky, you know, since that title was vacated. And, you know, we're kind of looking for somebody to step up and you know, kind of emerge out of the pack.
Vince, what's your take on this fight?
This is, boy, you talk about contrasting styles that should produce a fun fight. I mean, this is the brilliance of Tim Lloyd, David Robbins, and you got Lawson, I think, walks around at heavier, at least what I've seen him listed, heavier than 155. So, you know, he's a shorter guy, 5'9"-ish is what I've seen him listed. So he's going to have to come down and weight, and just a completely different body style from a Leo Woods, who's a 6'4" and probably walks around close to what he's going to need to weigh in at 155. So love that aspect of it. Woods has been in there against Avamai, Dakota Pell, Preston Schick. I mean, he's been in there against some really impressive guys. Now, he's lost to Mai and Schick, did beat Dakota Pell. Lawson brings a lot to the table as well because of some of his fights and having finished off his camp, first of all, and then ending his fights. When he wins by submission. So it's a real interesting matchup, and one that I think is very, very close. I'm going to go Leo Woods, but, man, I think because you don't know how the two are going to handle the difference in the styles, I think this one could end up very much a coin flip. But I'll go with a little bit of, you know, just the impressive list of fighters and opponents. I'm going to go Leo Woods.
Sure. My opinion, man, these are two guys that I know well, you know, Lathan Lawson. I saw him, you know, in his last fight there with Luis Rodriguez. I thought he was winning the fight. He got caught in a knee bar. His first fight with Valor Fights, he won by submission. With Leo's one of those guys that, you know, can be a spoiler. And that's really when we saw it in the Dakota Pell fight. You know, one would assume he would go in and handily, Dakota Pell would handily dispose of Leo Woods. That did not happen. Leo Woods was very strong in that fight. He pushed forward. He got the win in that fight. You know, even against Avamai, Leo Woods really gave a tough fight until he was taken down and submitted. I think, though, that Lathan Lawson is going to take this fight. I think he's going to be more poised, of course, coming again out of the Rush MMA and American Top Team out of Macon, Georgia. I think he's going to be more poised and going to have, you know, a deeper arsenal to go to. And I think that he takes it in the end, most likely by submission. I think it's going to be a great fight, though. That's one that I'm really looking forward to. Our next bout number 9, it's a welterweight bout at 170 pounds. Albertus, 1-1 out of Combat Academy in California, taking on Justin Reed, 3-1 out of Fortress MMA in Morristown. Tim, a great matchup.
Yeah, man, this is your typical striker versus grappler match here. L hasn't fought since I want to say maybe May of last year. He fought Granville and lost, but before that he had a very impressive knockout win. And he's very tall and lanky, and he's going to want to strike, I think. And Reed is very much a grappler. He's a teammate of Stephen Haig, who we'll see later in the night. I believe this is the first time that we've had Justin Reed on a Valor card. So you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, how he performs out there on the big show. And I think that, you know, again, it's a striker versus grappler matchup. I think wherever the fight kind of goes will dictate who has the advantage. You know, if it goes to the ground, then I think that Reed is very much the favorite. If it stays standing, then I'd say that L's the favorite.
Vincent, your take on this fight?
Yeah, I'm going to side with the grappler and Reed in this one. He's been more active than Burtis. You mentioned Burtis hadn't fought since early 2016. We're talking about a year there, and there's longer layoffs than that, but it's still something to consider. And Reed, he's had a couple losses, but he's career goes back to 2011, and his fight in late 2016 was that win over Aaron Phillips by Kimura, almost at the end of the first round. So, I have a feeling this one's going to go to the mat, and then that's where Reed will have the advantage, and certainly the crowd will be behind Reed as well. So I'll go Justin Reed.
I tend to agree with you on that. Justin Reed, one of those guys that really can endure a lot of pressure. I've seen him in some tight spots, take a lot of hard shots and be able to persevere and come back. And ultimately, once he gets it on the ground, is in a really good spot. Recently took a Naga competition, and I believe the Hatcher's MMA, the state grappling championships, the absolute division. So big props to Justin on that, and I think that that's going to be the difference in this fight. I think once he gets it where he wants it, he wins. Fight number 10, this is going to be an amateur MMA UMAF qualifier final, national qualifier final. In the middleweight division at 185 pounds, Bright Benson, 4-1 out of Knuckle Up Fitness in Douglasville, Georgia, taking on Josh Cumbie, a guy we know very well. He is 4-1 out of Self-Made Domicile in Rincon, Georgia. Tim, this is a really excellent matchup.
Yeah, this is for a slot in the national championship tournament. This will determine who gets our 185-pound slot in that tournament. Bright Benson is very tall at 185, coming off a win over Nick Jewell there at the last Apex show in January. You weren't there for that. Vince was. And you and I have been seeing Nick Jewell fight here as of late, though, and Benson got him out of there in the second round. Cumbie coming off a huge knockout win over Tevin Brown. Man, this one's hard to call. This one, I think they have the same record too. I think they're both 4-1, both come from good camps. And I think that, that we'll see if Bright Benson can keep that reach, can use that, that height to his advantage, or if Cumbie's able to collapse the pocket and land that, what we know to, he's got big time power.
A tremendous matchup. Vince, what is your take on this bout?
Well, I love it too. It's two young guys. It's two talented guys. Same record as Tim mentioned at 4-1. Two tall guys. Cumbie 6 feet tall. Benson 6'3". And both of them come in feeling good about themselves. I mean, obviously, when you have a UMAF final, when you have that spot on the line, I don't know about you guys, but it adds. Just being cage side, it adds a different level of energy when you have that spot on the line. And then sometimes you have those spots with a title as well, and that just even doubles it. I love the fact that Valor is hosting the regional finals, and that we've had these fights in the tournament leading up to it, and now a spot to advance to the nationals. So that just adds to how good this is on paper. Cumbie's on a three-fight win streak. The win over Brown was really impressive, and that happened in just a minute 47. Benson, interestingly, is undefeated when fighting for Valor Fights. His three losses have come in other organizations. Excuse me, his one loss came in another organization to Robert Hale. And so his other fight with Valor was with Thomas Hilliard. That was back in 2015 at Valor 29. But I'm going to go Cumbie. I think with that three-fight win streak, he's had finishes in different ways. All of his fights have come since the start of 2016, so in the last year. And he's even fought, obviously, with that win over Tevin Brown, he fought this year. So I think Cumbie is the favorite in my mind. I'm going to go Josh Cumbie.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that one. It's hard to get past that knockout of the night over Tevin Brown. Josh Cumbie just looked so dominant in that fight. And as Tim mentioned, I wasn't actually there for Brett Benson's last fight. So, you know, I'm not keen on that. You know, I don't know what's going on. All I have seen is Josh Cumbie, and I know he is amazing. I'm going to go with Josh in that fight. And I'm going to go by knockout. I think it's going to be a slugfest, and it's going to end with a knockout. The next bout, bout number 11, is also a UMAF National Qualifier Final, but it's in the super heavyweight division. That's 265+, and guys, you know that I'm a huge fan of the super heavyweights. It's Tim Johnson, 0-5 out of Death Row MMA in Grundy County, Tennessee, taking on Michael Bedrock Snap, a guy we know very well. He is 7-6 and one no contest, out of Newport Combat Club in Newport, Tennessee. Tim, a great matchup. Talk about it.
You know, again, this is for the super heavyweight slot in the national tournament. And last I saw, you know, whoever gets that slot's probably only going to have one or two fights to be considered a national champion and on Team USA. You know, so it's a big fight, and it's an interesting one because, you know, Snap has got a lot of experience, more experience than Tim, better record than Tim, but Tim has been a lot more active. You know, Snap hasn't fought in now about a year, and by the time the fight gets here, it'll be real close to a year and a half, maybe a year and a quarter, something like that. But, you know, Tim, even though his record isn't good, he has been in there with, like, the best guys, you know, like Tim Johnson fight anybody, and he's been active, you know, so it's interesting, man. Snap's at home, you know, so he's got that home crowd behind him, but does that also cause some nerves? It's hard to say. You know, I think it's actually a really good fight.
Vince, you know both of these fighters. Talk mm-hmm. about your perspective on the fight and your pick.
Well, Tim Loy, that is right on in Tim Johnson fighting some big-time guys. Billy Swanson is a common opponent of both fighters. Tim Johnson lost to Billy Swanson on strikes in a minute 56 of the first round back in February last year, whereas Michael Snap went the distance with Billy Swanson. Now, that Billy Swanson that fought both of those two guys, I think, is a much better Billy Swanson now. But still, that's a little bit of an advantage for Michael Snap. Also, Johnson's fought Gavin Walker, who, as we know, is a beast, Julio Medina, Kelly Payne back in January. So the record doesn't indicate the toughness and the ability of the fighter, which often happens in his matchups. I'm going to go Michael Snap. It has been a while for him, but he's going to have the fans, I think, on his side, and having some wins under his belt, at least, and having tasted victory, I think is going to help him through any adversity that he finds. And this is just going to be with the heavyweights. You just never know where the fight's going to go. So just on experience and having felt that victory before, I'm going to go with Bedrock in this one.
Well, I'm going to go with Snap as well. And the biggest reason is the times that I've seen Michael Snap run into trouble has to do with working with wrestlers, guys that put him on his back and prevent him from enacting any sort of offense. When it comes to just, you know, slinging and banging in the center of the cage, that's one thing that Michael Snap can do, and that's hence the name Bedrock. So I think that if they square off, I think it's going to be a very exciting fight. But I think the first person to drop will be Tim Johnson in that exchange. So that being said, I think it's going to be a great fight. The next fight is very interesting. UMAF National Qualifier Final in the featherweight division. And there's been a lot of talk about this one, man. A back and forth discussion. Ben Brown, 1-1 out of Combat Kings in Athens, Georgia, under Ace and Ashley Samples, taking on Ava Mayi, 4-1, Nashville MMA in Nashville, Tennessee. And man, these guys have been going back and forth so much so as to where Avamayi has actually challenged Ben Brown's coach, Ace Samples. Tim, what I mean, I just got wind of this. You got to give us the full scoop.
Yeah, this one is gone from just, you know, again, you know, it's the 145 slots on the line. And a little backstory here, you know, was, you know, Abba fought in Nashville in February and he beat Ace Hill by decision at 135, which was supposed to have been a qualifier, but he missed weight. And he was sick. He had the flu the week before that, but regardless, he missed the weight. And so even though he won that fight, now he's going to try to qualify at 145 pounds against Ben Brown, who from Combat Kings, again, with Ace and Ashley Samples. And Ace has been very vocal about wanting to see him. You know, Ashley actually won that national championship for the females last year. For the UMAF, and so, you know, they're hoping to see Ben Brown follow in her footsteps and get another Combat King national champion. So you know, he was talking with us last week, you know, on the Valor Hour, and he was just kind of going over all of his team's fights, and he had alluded that he thought that Ben Brown was going to put Ava to sleep. And so Ava is, you know, he's a fiery guy, you know, he's a little spark plug. So he did an interview with Jason Floyd on his podcast, and we've got some snippets of him, you know, taking some offense to what Ace had said. He said he's going to make Ace apologize to him at the weigh-ins. And, you know, and when he goes pro, he wants that to be his debut. So, you know, and Ace is obviously you know, he's already a pro and a head coach there. And so, you know, that's certainly interesting, you know, and it'll give us a little extra added flair to a fight that maybe have been flying under the radar till now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of heat there. I'm very excited about it. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, both of these competitors are very good and really contrasting styles. Vince, talk about the fight.
Well, I love this. And anytime, you know, Casey, we've talked about it because you see it sometimes in the weigh-ins. Whenever you get some heat, some words, some nose-to-nose, trash talk with social media, camps going after each other, that really adds to it. Sometimes to the detriment of a fighter if they get too emotional, how they handle that. Other times it really motivates them and they're able to channel that energy the right way. So that's just adds to how the curiosity of how this might go down. Avamayi, we've seen him. I mean, against Hill, he was terrific. It was a split decision, but I thought he performed great in that one. And then even in the one time we've seen him lose, that was, as you guys know, a classic against Amun Cosme in one of the more entertaining fights that I can remember calling. So you're going to be entertained by this one. As you can tell with his trash talk, incredibly confident too. He was asked in an interview, "Are you the best prospect in the state of Tennessee?" He said, "I'm the best fighter in Tennessee." So he's counting pros, amateurs, weight classes, the whole state. And he says he's the best. He thinks he's already a world-class mixed martial artist. So, you know, I'm a big fan of confidence like that. I think he has the goods too. And he's not fighting Ace Samples, who's an absolute beast. He's fighting one of his guys in Ben Brown. So I think Mai wins the fight. And, hey, I'm all for Mai Samples if they want to get it on at some point down the road.
Man, I tend to agree with your decision on that, with your pick. I think I'm going to go with Avamayi as well, just on sheer numbers. And also due to the fact that Ben Brown lost his last fight by rear naked choke, I think on the feet it's going to be an absolute brawl. Ben Brown, that traditional style of Muay Thai coming from Combat Kings. Avamayi with a more unorthodox style. Like, he has a traditional style as an orthodox fighter. Then he'll switch to the southpaw and he'll give you a completely different look, and a lot of opponents can be confused by that. And we saw it in his last outing. So But I think once it hits the ground, Ava is the more pedigreed grappler. And so I'm going to pick Ava for that reason. I think it's going to be a great fight, and I can't wait to see this matchup. Fight number 13, another UMAF national qualifier final, but also a Valor Fights light heavyweight championship bout. Dimitri Fuentes, 0-1 independent out of Jefferson City, Tennessee, taking on John Hall, the man who slings the leather, 3-0 out of Newport Combat Club in Newport, Tennessee. What a fight this is going to be, Tim.
Yeah, man. You know, originally it was supposed to be John against Jordan Ownby, who had won the semifinal against Philpott at the last show. But Ownby had some injuries. He wasn't able to move on here. And so now John Hall is, you know, he's fighting at home. He'll have a large crowd there. His star is bright right now. You know, John Hall has looked great in his three fights, where including his title fight. And, you know, I've got to say that in all three of his fights, even including his debut against Josh Williams from Killer Bees, he was probably the underdog on paper in every single one of those fights. And in about halfway through the first round of this last fight, he stopped being the underdog. And yeah, something happened. Something changed to where now he's like a guy that people are avoiding. As for Dimitri, you know, he's a tough guy. You know, he's certainly a big underdog in this spot, I think. But at the end of the day, man, I tried to get a lot of guys to take this fight. A lot of guys turned it down. Dimitri is willing to step up. And, you know, that said, Dimitri has been in some tough fights. You know, he fought in the first Newport show. He kickboxed against a guy from Newport Combat Club, actually, John Messer, who actually was trained by Trevor Wilds and that whole group. He actually lost to Dimitri in their kickboxing match, and then Dimitri fought a guy that outweighed him by probably 50 pounds at the International, the Adam Bridges, and he hung tough with him too. So, you know, he's no pushover. He's going to be game, but he's certainly an underdog.
Well, as you just mentioned, you know, just because you're the underdog doesn't mean you don't have a chance. So Dimitri Fuentes stepping up, props to him. Vince, your take on this fight?
Yeah, and I agree with you that Fuentes is going to have a shot in this one, but I got to go with the champ in John Hall. I remember before the James Garmany fight, at Apex 13, working with Sawyer Rich, and we were all thinking that Garmany was going to win that fight at going in, and Sawyer Rich was like, y'all better don't sleep on John Hall. I'm telling you, he's going to win this fight, and he can bring it and absolutely can sling the leather, and boy, he brought it to Garmany and then ended up with that rear naked choke win in the third round, but really, really dominated Garmany for a good part of the fight. You know, he's undefeated. He's a champ. He is just such a big time striker. I just think he's got a huge advantage, plus about 8 inches in height as well. So I'll go with the champ, John Hall.
Well, that's one thing that really stands out to me with John Hall is that reach. Not only is he fast and hard hitting, but once he hits you, it's very hard to counter back because he is, you know, so much out of range. This guy is really built to fight that John Jones style build. And I think he does retain his title this weekend and continues to do big things in the Valor Fights organization. Next up, fight number 14, a welterweight bout at 170 pounds. Yemi Oduwole, a debut, pro debut rather, out of Knuckle Up Fitness in Douglasville, Georgia. Of course, we've seen Yemi here at Valor Fights, you know, quite extensively, taking on Travis Connor, who is 0-1 out of 4 seasons in Lexington, Kentucky. A tremendous matchup here on the pro side. Tim, talk about it.
You know, this one's one that, you know, it's flown under the radar a little bit, but I think it's going to be the perfect fight to kick off the pro side. It is two very good athletes and two guys that have had, you know, a lot of success with us. Travis Connor was undefeated as an amateur with us and looked really good, had some good wins, lost to Tanner Saraceno in his pro debut, but that was a very tough pro debut, and he just didn't have the wrestling to answer it. Whereas Jimmy is not really a pedigreed wrestler per se. You know, he's very well rounded. And, you know, Jimmy's coming off of that win over Bubba Cruz at the last Apex. And he was definitely more into his grappling game in that particular fight. But he's well-rounded enough to do lots of different things. So, you know, Connor has shown a bit of weakness in wrestling. I know that he has trained a lot in wrestling. He let me know that he is definitely shored up that weakness. You know, he actually wants a rematch with Tanner down the road. I don't think Jimmy is going to have the level of wrestling that Tanner did, but Jimmy's just very well. I mean, he's good at everything. And so, you know, he's on a hot streak. Jimmy's not lost on Valor at all. So it's a good fight, man. It's two very, very talented athletes, and I could go either way.
Yeah, very excited to hear from Travis Connor last week on the Valor Hour. And man, just like you said, he is very focused on what he is going to do. Not deterred from that last loss whatsoever. Vince, talk about about this matchup.
Well, I remember that for Travis Connor. I remember that Tanner Saraceno fight. And Saraceno was good. But that was his pro debut, and you would expect him, much like you see in college football, you go from your biggest improvement is from your first game to your second game in a season, and you would expect that from your first pro fight to your second. And as Tim mentioned, he was on a roll. He had won his last four amateur fights. He was ready to take that step. But I'm going to go with Jimmy because I was so impressed by that win over Bubba Cruz. I mean, Cruz was absolutely wiping people quickly. And then Jimmy, I thought, was doing a lot of different things, not just one thing in that Bubba Cruz fight and then ended up with that neck crank win in the second round. I just can't get over how impressive that was. Yemi certainly has a bunch of wins in his amateur career as well. So I think Yemi's ready for that next step, and I'm going to go with Jimmy in this one.
And I'll tell you what, you know, what you're talking about with Jimmy and defeating Bubba Cruz, a lot of people felt like maybe that Bubba had an off night. Then he returns back at Valor Fights 41 and absolutely destroys Steven Stevens in a very impressive finish. So it makes you think twice about it. That being said, I'm going to take Travis Connor. And again, maybe just to have a little contrast with you, Vince. But at the same time, I just think that, you know, having spoken with him last week, he just seems very focused. If it stays on the feet, man, he is one of those guys that tolls forward, that puts a lot of pressure on. I'm going to go with him in this fight. I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup. Bout number 15. It's a featherweight bout at 145 pounds. John GQ Henning, 0-4, one no contest, out of Charlotte BJJ Academy for M Fitness in Charlotte, North Carolina, taking on Dalton Fox, 1-4, with one no contest as well. He's an independent out of Newport as well. Tim, talk about this matchup.
This one should be pretty fun. You know, these guys don't have good records, but they both fought very tough competition. They're both hungry to get that win. I know Dalton is going to be, you know, this is his hometown. He's going to want to get out there and put on a show for his hometown. He's definitely the striker, southpaw. He's got a left that can put anyone down. You know, it's dangerous. And he's a guy that doesn't get a lot of respect for much other than that. But man, it's like that's that weird X factor that at any point he can hit anybody at 145 pounds and knock them out with his left. It's really crazy. But, you know, Henning is definitely the more well-rounded fighter, you know. You know, that said, over the court, you know, Henning hasn't really been a finisher or doesn't get finished. So, you know, I feel like Henning is the more skilled guy, but over the course of 15 minutes, you know, with Dalton having the opportunity to land that left, you know, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing too, is that, you know, Dalton Fox, of course, took out Corey Browning, one of the top prospects, at least as an amateur in the Valor Fights roster. And that's one thing that we always remember there. Vincent, talk about this fight.
Man, this one is tough because it's one of those where don't pay attention to the records. The records aren't going to indicate how well this bout is matched and how entertaining it can be. I agree with you on Hennig. I mean, he stayed in there. And Charlie Alexander's a good fighter. We saw him in Nashville in Charlie's hometown, and he took Charlie to the judges' scorecards. You know, Kobe Wall is another one that he went a little bit longer with.
Went all the rounds with Zach Cooper, too.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Back at Valor Fights 35. So that was a split decision, I think. So, you know, he's got some wins in his amateur career, but it's been a while since he's been able to taste victory, and that was back in 2015. Dalton Fox, yeah, he's got the puncher's chance, and he has tasted victory. That was the last one being Corey Browning, but that was back in 2014, and all of Dalton Fox's losses are first round. So it's either you get put away early, or you're putting someone away early. That's a little high risk, high reward for me. I know he's going to want to put on a show in front of the fans in Newport, but I think the different ways to win, and Hennig being able to, if it gets into the second round, I think he'll have the advantage having done it before and having a good chin too and taking a lot of the hits and going farther in. I'm going to go John Hennig in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think that O is going to go. And that's one of the you know, it's a strange situation with John Hennig because he is such a good competitor, yet he is 0-4 as a pro. And, you know, it definitely does not indicate the level of skill that he possesses. And I think he takes this fight. I think he takes it in round one. I think he finishes. No disrespect to Dalton Fox. I think he's going to bring a fight. But I think, GQ, round one TKO. And our next bout, it's going to be a really interesting fight. It's a catch weight at 130 pounds. Cole Farrell, 2-0 out of Knuckle Up Fitness, Douglasville, Georgia, taking on Bruce Bearcat Duckett, 0-1, fighting out of Team Oxendine, newly Team Oxendine here in Johnson City. And I think it's going to be a great matchup. I haven't worked with, Bruce actually had trained with Bushido MMA prior to this fight, accepting this fight. And then most recently, he has been, you know, at our gym for about a month training, and he has really provided a lot of, not only has he trained hard, he's provided a lot of work for the rest of the guys that are preparing for fights. So, you know, huge props to him. You know, he's part of the family now. But it's going to be a tough matchup against Cole Farrell. And, before we get on to our discussion about it, we have Cole Farrell here on the line, and we're going to talk about it with him. All right, we are on to fight number 16 of Valor Fights 42 of that card. It is a pro MMA bout and features Cole Farrell and Bruce the Bearcat Duckett. Before we get on with our analysis, gentlemen, we have the one and only Cole Farrell on the line, and we're going to get a little insight from him on this weekend's festivities. Cole, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Feeling better than I've ever felt in preparation for a fight.
Well, man, it goes down this weekend. Of course, we saw you just a few months ago with a big victory over Brandon Grimmett. And even beyond that, man, it was like the jackhammer slam, the Goldberg-style jackhammer slam. You know, I went home, I was talking about that for a week after that. I just think it was really exciting to watch and really excited to have you back at Valor Fights 42.
Yeah, man. The thing with me is when I go into the cage, I don't go in just to win or just to get by. I go in to fight. I mean, all the way from my first amateur fight back in 2011, you can tell right when the referee says go, it's go time. I have my own quick filling out process, but and I'm not overly aggressive. I just go in there to fight and give the fans what they paid for, and it's as simple as that, bro.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that we signed you, man. And I feel that, you know, all the fights that you've been in with us so far have been, you know, certainly exciting and fan friendly. And, you know, that's what we want. We want guys that are going to go out there and put on a show and lay it all out there. And, you know, the fight against Grimmett, you didn't really have much of an option but to go hard, because he literally caught a sprint running across the cage.
Tate, and I was not expecting that at all. That's never happened to me. Like, I've seen it on television all the time. Dude comes out, crazy flying knee, crazy spinning kick. Wasn't expecting that at all. But there's something about that Tennessee crowd, something about the Valor crowd in particular, man. Like, I feed off of their energy. Like, my pro debut against Donald in November, all the way up to February, like, right when I go through the curtains, I just feed off of that energy. There's something different about the Valor venue and the crowd and the energy in comparison to any other promotion I fought for. So yeah, man, I just feed off of that, and I go in there to put on a show, because I'm looking to be in the UFC in the next 500 days maximum, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to get these fights in and rack up these W's.
We appreciate you saying that, man. That's that's certainly something that we take pride in having that hot electric atmosphere live, you know, because, you know, I feel like our fans are pretty educated for the most part. And, you know, even if it's guys that aren't necessarily from the town that we're in, they can recognize a good fight, and they'll get behind guys that, you know, they want to get behind. And, you know, that's something that we do, take some pride in, that we just have that, that hot electric atmosphere that, it kind of feeds things. And once it gets rolling, that it's, it just builds and builds and builds. And it makes those awesome nights. So exactly, we're excited for this weekend, man. So what do you think about Bruce? What can we expect in this one? Bruce is kind of known to be a scrapper.
Bruce is a scrapper. Bruce is a tough guy, but there's one thing about me, outside of my passion, I was born to be great at this sport in particular. Bruce doesn't want it more than me. None of my future opponents nor past opponents want this more than me. It all comes down to passion. And outside of that, I feel like skill-wise, he's a tough guy. He's a grinder. He goes in there to fight. I respect that. I'm not underestimating Bruce at all. I never underestimate any of my opponents. That's why I've been so successful these past few years, because I acknowledge anything can happen. And due to the fact that I acknowledge anything can happen, I'm prepared in every aspect of the fight. So I see myself going in there and beating Bruce in every aspect of mixed martial arts. He will not be fast. He won't have faster hands than me. His kicks won't be as technical and as fast as mine. His punching power won't be where mine's at. His wrestling won't be where mine's at. His jiu-jitsu won't be where mine's at. His scrambling and cardio won't be where mine's at. This Saturday is the biggest night of my entire 24 years of existence. So listen, man. Casey, Tim, I could go on all night, bro, but I'm fucking ready, bro. I'm ready.
So we also have Vince Ferrar on the line. Of course, he works alongside myself at every Valor event. He is the play-by-play guy. He is the gangster of mixed martial arts, and he is here with us. I wanted to send it over to him. Man, you were there, Vince, when he dropped that big jackhammer. You've seen Cole Farrell. You know what he's all about. What's your take on this fight, and do you have any questions for him?
Well, yeah, I'll ask Cole a question in 1 second, but man, I had to hold you down, Casey, when that jackhammer slam went down. And you were just beside yourself, and I was pretty excited too. It was unbelievable. Cole, I'm intrigued by your confidence. I mean, you talk about the passion and no one wants it more than you, but this confidence you have, is that something that has developed, or have you always had that within you?
That's a really good question. I've had this confidence, I think, since I came out the womb. I come from very humble beginnings. I grew up in a very poverty-stricken area. So through sixth grade up until 11th grade alone, without any exaggeration, I had been into like 40 to 50 street fight. And I basically, it was like a kill or be killed atmosphere, eat or starve atmosphere in the town I grew up in. So I think that I was born with the confidence, but for sure it progressed and increased throughout life. And through years of getting in trouble and street fighting, I turned 14 years old and started wrestling. And that's where the confidence really started coming, you know. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu and boxing all in high school, man. And once I started wiping the mats with like 30-year-old AMI and young pros when I was like 16 years old, that's going to give any young kid confidence. So I'm humble, but I just find that balance. I'm not too humble and I'm not too cocky. I just have a confidence that no other man has. And I'm just going in there with more self-belief than anybody on this card. And you'll feel it. You'll feel the energy when I step in the cage. I spread that energy. I feed off the crowd. And I become one with myself. I think of all of the adversities and struggles I've went through my entire life. And I just let it all go right when the referee says go. That's why I'm so cool, calm, and collected, man. Because all the hard work's been put in. I just got to go in there and perform. So, yeah, man. I was born with this confidence, but it's just progressed through the savage lifestyle I've been forced to live in.
Love it. Well, and I know from covering other sports, elite athletes, when they've already put in the hardest work prior to the games or events, you see that demeanor that you have. So that really shows that you've put in the work. But I think this is going to be tremendous fun on Saturday. So looking forward to calling you. I'll let you let the other guys take you the rest of the way, but we'll see you on Saturday, Cole.
Yeah, Vince, I really appreciate it, man. I'm going to go in there, put on a show. Anything can happen, but it's my time, brother. It is Cole Farrell's time and nobody else's.
Cole, really quick, before we close it out, I'm going to give you a chance. Give all the love to your training partners, to your coaches, everybody that's helped you along the way, of course. Also, your social media plugs, where we can find you, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or anything else, anywhere else. Let us know where we can get a hold of you and what's going on.
Awesome, man. Where do I start? All right, Instagram. I'm huge on Instagram. My Instagram name is very simple, Cole Farrell MMA. And Farrell is F-E-R-R-E-L-L, Cole Farrell MMA. That's my IG. My Facebook is Cole Farrell MMA as well, my Facebook athlete page. Be sure to check that out. Give it a like. I'm running up a Twitter soon. Don't have a Twitter. My Snapchat is Q Cole F. Very simple, Q Cole F. And I want to give a shout-out to God, first off, because it's the reason for everything positive in my life. Second of all, I just want to give a shout-out to my coach, Michael Prane, who's going to be driving me up there. Devontae, who's coming with me. Big shout-out to my son, my mother, my father, my family, and all my supporters, man. And all of my haters, too, because a lot of these cats doubt me. All of my opponents have doubted me. So shout-out to them, too, bro.
Cole Farrell takes on Bruce Duckett this Saturday night. It's Valor Fights 42. Live at the Cobb County High School. Cole, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Awesome, Casey, Tim, Vince. Y'all have a wonderful night. It was good speaking to y'all.
Can't wait, my man.
Take it easy.
All right, guys. Well, we spoke with Cole Farrell. We got his take on everything. Tim, what is your analysis on this fight?
Tell you what, I like both these guys a lot. First off, I've got to give props to Cole Farrell for being able to sell a fight on the mic like a seasoned vet. That was a great promo. I was bragging on him, and I think that's one of the things I like about him is that he is very confident. He knows how to sell his fights, and he is, he definitely is a guy that is going to go out there and wants to put on a show. So, I think that both of these guys are good dudes. I'm friends with both guys, the Duckett guys, the Duckett family, Floyd and all those guys. Jesse helps do our graphics. Floyd, has been around to help us in the past as well. And so I like both these guys. And, I think it's going to be a fun fight because, Cole always goes out there and has a crazy fight. And Bruce is known to just be very, very tough and gritty and scrappy, you know, and comes forward and puts on good fights. And, you know, I think that the advantage on paper goes to Cole with the ground skills. Bruce striking is fairly solid. He's pretty good. But, you know, now that he's training at Team Oxendine some, I expect some of those holes to be shored up and to make this fight even better. So I expect a really good scrappy war between these guys.
Vincent, your take on this fight?
Well, I much like Tim, I loved Cole Farrell's confidence. I know some people are you know, not turned off by guys that are able to sell themselves and, you know, cut a promo, so to speak, in wrestling terms, but able to be showman as well. And he is confident. And I think a lot of guys can be brash like that and deliver the goods. And I think he's one of them. He's been impressive when we've seen him. That, as we talked about in the interview, that jackhammer slam over Brandon Grimmett was so exciting. But he's got more than that. He's not just a flash guy. He can do it all. And then with Bruce Duckett, it's been a while since I've seen him. And that was the last time we saw him that I've seen him was Devin Ward back at Apex 6 in, you know, or about this time 2 years ago in 2015. He's since then he had a loss to Michael Whaley, but didn't see him. That was at another organization. So I'm going to go and look. Casey Oxendine and Team Oxendine is going to make Bruce Duckett even better. I just think since it's been such a short period of time with the camp, it's going to take a while before that kicks in and the game is expanded. So I'm going to go Cole Farrell on this one.
All right. Well, of course, you know, that's one thing. Again, I mentioned before Bruce Duckett. This is a kid that, you know, I had met, you know, a few years back when he competed for me in Arena Combat. So I know he was a very tough character. He always comes to fight. You know, when he came into the gym, he had already accepted the fight with Cole Farrell, which is always a challenge. But that being said, he got in there. He worked hard. He listened to everything that you know, I put forth as far as his coaching and so forth. And he gave back, you know. He is not only preparing for his fight, but he's helping the rest of the guys get ready for their fights that are coming up in the next few weeks. I'm going to go ahead. Of course, I've got to go with the Bearcat. I've got to go with our boy, Bruce Duckett. I'm a huge Cole Farrell fan outside of this, but I'm going to go with my boy. I think it's going to, you know, be a great fight, and I look forward to it. Fight number 17, that's our co-main event, and it's in the welterweight division, welterweight division. Lindsey Sweet T. Jones, we saw him taking on Kid Cash the last time he was here at Valor Fights. He's 1-0 out of American Top Team in Coconut Creek, taking on Jeff Powell, a guy we haven't seen in many years. He's a debut, pro debut, out of Blaylock's IMB in Hollywood, Alabama. Tim, talk about the fight.
Oh, man. You know, this is one I'm excited for. It's kind of a mystery fight because who knows what's going to show up with Jeff Powell. You know, it's been so long since he's fought. I've actually never seen him fight, but, you know, I know he comes from the Blaylock's camp. I know Rocky Quinn is his manager, coach, that produces very exciting fighters, Sid Wheeler, etc. So, you know, I expect him to be an exciting fighter, like all of the fighters out of Blaylock's are. Lindsey Jones, you know, all Sweet Tea. He had the big win over Kid Cash. He's a signed Valor fighter, and you know, the sky's the limit for that guy. Very good prospect, and so I'm excited for this one, man. This should be fireworks. Actually, this is one of those that I expect to be another exciting war.
Vince, your take.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sweet T. He was impressive in beating Kid Cash fairly quickly. I think it was only 39 seconds of the first round, and doing so in Nashville. And it was terrific as an amateur as well, at 5-1. And his one loss was his first fight. Then he won his next five as an amateur and made the move up and won that Kid Cash fight as his first pro fight. 6 feet tall as well. Not as familiar with Jeff Powell. So from a familiarity standpoint and from an impressive pro debut, I'm going Sweet Tea on this one.
Man, I'm going to go with Lindsey Jones as well. Sweet Tea is a name I expect to see in lights one day. And I think that, he has a huge future ahead of him. Of course, moving from Rush MMA to the main headquarters of American Top Team in Coconut Creek, Florida. He's doing big things. Of course, he mentioned he was on the podcast last week, talking about his training with Will Brooks, Thiago Alves, some of the biggest names in the sport. And I think he's going to be very prepared for this fight. Now it's on to our main event of the evening. Of course, it's in the lightweight division, 155 pounds. And before we get into our analysis, we actually have one half of this main event on the line with us. Smooth Stephen Haag. So we're going to talk with him real quick. Stephen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. Good. Having a big night here with the Valor 42 preview. And, man, you are headlining. And really, man, we've seen you do so much. We've watched you grow up in the sport. And really, in Valor fights, you've done so much, man. One of the most creative stylist, one of the most creative fighters on the roster, and now you're headlining here. What's your take on the fight?
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a tough fight. Quentin's very well rounded just about everywhere. So not really one area that I see that he's lacking in. So made me push myself that much harder. So I think it's going to be a war. I think it's going to be a good fight.
Well, we're definitely excited for it, man, and especially doing it in Newport, kind of close to your hometown there. Is there any added pressure, main eventing and kind of being in the spotlight for this, or are you feeding off of it?
Pretty much feeding off of it. I tend to put the same amount of pressure on me regardless to perform, but any added pressure just with it being close to home, not really, so.
Well, of course, last year it was fight of the year. You and Nick Gertz, that was a razor close decision that you dropped. You came back, beat Randy Stamey, and now you're back here in this main event. Of course, you're an officer, police officer there in Morristown. You have to be excited to represent yourself and, of course, represent your city in a certain way there. Not too far down the road from where you live. Talk about your preparation a little bit. Talk about the support that you've had, and you mentioned briefly about Quentin Culpepper. He is a well-rounded guy, but what are you going to take into this, man? We've seen you pull calf cutters out in the middle of a mixed martial arts fight. You don't see that a whole lot. Without divulging too much, give us some of your game plan there.
Yeah, no, as far as my backing, I've got a huge backing with the sheriff's department. They're very supportive. So we always have a pretty good crowd come out from them. As far as training and preparation, past 8 weeks I've been in the gym 2-3 times a day, just pushing the body to the limits and just prepared and getting ready for April 15th. So I hope the hard working stuff shows off, and I'm looking forward to putting on a show April 15th.
Well, I think that it's most people that look into Stephen Haag and kind of on the surface there, the initial it's hard to not initially kind of peg you as a straight grappler BJJ guy, because you're a very talented BJJ competitor, getting awfully close to your black belt, I believe, and talk about a little bit about your striking, because from what I've seen and in most of your fights, you'll go out there and you'll trade, and it's and it's exciting in your stand-up. You're not a one-dimensional guy. You're certainly capable of standing and striking. And, you know, your last amateur fight, you actually finished with strikes. And so with that nice body shot. So, you know, just talk a little bit about your striking training.
Yeah, striking's going very well. Since my fight with Randy Spamy, ended up getting a striking coach, done a lot of boxing and stuff. So it's helped me out significantly as far as the hands and stuff. Just working on my timing and my combos and things like that. So anywhere this fight takes place, I feel pretty confident.
Who are you training with the most to get ready for this? Are you doing any cross training outside of your home gym? Or do you know, and who are the guys that, you know, are in there with you day in and day out that, you know, are giving you kind of the look that you're looking for?
Mainly 4 days a week. Of course, I'm with Phil Hurst, usually Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Been getting down to Fit Factory 1 day a week with Gene Click and Anthony Morgan. And then, of course, Brian Rosenbaum on my boxing during the week as well. So sticking with the jiu-jitsu roots, keeping at it just as much as I possibly can, just trying to improve everywhere else as far as the conditioning, the striking. So
yeah, so how long have you been training exactly? Because I'm looking back and I remember way back in the day, back when you were didn't you come down and train at Seneca with Seneca in Knoxville way back in the day? I seem to remember it. I mean I think you were a kid at the time. I think you were probably 15 years old maybe.
Yeah, I think I made a couple trips down there. I'd actually started out in Kempo Karate back in 2003, and then ended up getting my black belt in Kempo, and then transitioned over to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 2005 with Phil Hurst, and been doing Jiu-Jitsu now for almost 12 years.
And how old were you when you started?
I believe I was 15 years old.
15 years old. I swear, I think that you were there, you came in and way back in the day, man. That's crazy how long ago you know that it's been. Are you still doing anything with Dustin Walden and D'Evil?
Not at the moment. My work schedule ended up changing up. Of course, they ended up having their day starting at 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And but since that's changed, and of course been in talks with Adam about getting up there. So after this fight, I'm going to start getting up there, try to 1 day a week and get some work done with those guys.
Nice.
Well, we're certainly excited to have you, man. I think it's going to be a very exciting one. There's, you know, with these Newport cards, sometimes we've got more, you know, brawler type, which is always fun. Not, certainly not knocking on the brawls. Those are always fan favorite type fights, but, you know, it's kind of, a contrast at the top of the card. I've been saying, you know, there's so many, you know, brawlers and sluggers and bangers. And then at the top of the card, we've got two very technical, very solid, mixed martial artists, man. So we're super excited for this one. This is honestly I think this is certainly an early candidate for fight of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, and I'm excited.
Yeah, very exciting. And so Steve, real quick, of course, you know, obviously, you know, this is a big fight for you. I mean, this is you know, good progress in what you're looking for overall in your goals. But real quickly, what are your goals? Are you looking to take it to the UFC? You know, should we expect to see you in, you know, at a top tier? Is this something you're fully dedicated to, or is it more so something that, you know, your main profession is working in law enforcement, and this just keeps you sharp? This is to help you to progress in the job that you have, or do we, you know, should we expect to see you on top in the big show?
For me, it's a second job. I'm putting just as much time in this right here as I am my law enforcement career. So right now, one fight at a time, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, very cool. Real quick, go ahead and give some shout-outs where they are due. You know, everyone that's helped you to get prepared. Also, all of your social media plugs, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the places that we can find you. Talk about that and give your love.
Yeah. Thanks to all my sponsors, the Five Rivers CrossFit, Fortress Fitness Kickboxing, Grips Athletics, International Coin Sale, World Showcase, Make Yourself Tattoo Studio, Hearst Real Estate and Auction, Robert's Auto Sales, Smith Fending, West End Pawn Shop, Matt Barnes, and Clifton Barnes. Of course, my coaches, Phil Hirsch, Team Click, Brian Rosenbaum. Wouldn't be where I'm at now if it weren't for those guys. Facebook, you can find me at Stephen Hag, MMA Fighter. And then my Twitter handle will be Hag Stephen.
But there you have it. Smooth Stephen Hag. Headlines, Valor Fights 42 this weekend. That's April 15th at the Cobb County High School. Everybody come out and join him. Stephen, have a great night. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you all.
All right, guys, you heard from one half of this big main event. Smooth Stephen Hag, he takes on Quentin Culpepper. Tim, talk about this fight.
I'm really excited for it. You know, it's very technical fight. You know, these are two very, very skilled, athletic mixed martial artists that are going to put on a show. This won't be boring. Both guys are known to be, you know, offensive fighters that attack in unorthodox ways. So, you know, that's one of the downsides of this business. You grow fond of so many guys, you don't want to see anybody, you know, there's lots of guys you don't want to see lose. And so that's the case with me on this main event. I'm a fan of both guys. I hate to see either guy lose, but, you know, that's the business at this point. One of these guys is going to elevate and rise and emerge. And I feel like, you know, the fans are in for a treat. This is going to be a really good fight to cap the night off.
Vince, what do you think about this big main event?
This is another home run for a main event for Valor Fights. It's beautifully matched with two guys that can do it all, that have that technical ability that Tim mentioned, but the entertainment at the same time. I mean, you guys have seen it. Stephen Hag has all kinds of submissions, a lot of stuff that a lot of us don't see, the calf slicers you talked about in the interview with Smooth, and he can do it in a number of different ways. And then with Quentin Culpepper, too, he's got a variety of different submission wins. In fact, he's finished everybody, and he's never been finished. Plus, in the wins, good record for both as pros and as amateurs. And Stephen Hag, the one time that we've seen him lose recently and the only time he's lost as a pro was the Nick Gertz fight, and that was fight of the year. So you're going to either get wins, entertaining, unusual type of submissions, or you're going to get an all-out war. So I love the matchup. I'm going to go with Smooth on this one. His win over Randy Stamey was exactly what he needed to get him back on track to where that Nick Gertz fight, the war didn't linger on for him. And it just showed that he was undefeated as an amateur, and it showed that he could bounce back from adversity. And he's a soft-spoken guy. He's not a promote-myself guy, but he's going to have plenty of fans there rooting for him. This is going to be close. I think I wouldn't be surprised if despite the submission ability of both guys, if it does go the distance and we're going to see a tremendous sub defense. But I think I'm going to go with Smooth. But again, I think this is very close.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I'm going to take Smooth Stephen Hag. I think he's been in deeper waters in that fight with Nick Gertz. I mean, that was an absolute war, and I just don't think that Quentin Culpepper has been up against that kind of adversity yet. That being said, it's going to be very close. I'm going to pick Stephen Hag by decision. I think it's going to be a war, and I think it's going to go to the distance. Quentin Culpepper may have the slight advantage on the feet. I think Stephen Hag, though, he really has a tremendous ground game, a one that really stands out.
And I think that's going to make the difference. And I think he's very crafty, and I think it's going to be a great main event. I'm very excited for it. And, you know, again, if I'm wrong, then I'm going to eat crow, and I have no problem with that, because I think either man has got a big future ahead of them in this sport, and really both of them, regardless of who wins on Saturday night. So, and that being said, that rounds out, you know, this entire card. I think Valor Fights 42 is poised to be one of the top cards of the year. Newport has shown to be one of the greatest fan bases in the Valor Fights promotion. So excited for it. Tim, you know, real quick before we close it out, give the fans, you know, a rundown of why they need to get out there and get a ticket. And if they can't, if they're not close enough, to order on Flow Combat, because they can watch it live right there, you know, at home on Flow Combat.
You know, I think, you know, this is one of those cards that I can just guarantee it's going to be exciting, man. You know, it's not, it's different. It's a different kind of card. It's a kind of card where, you know, you don't have just, you've got a good mix, you know, you don't just have a lot of just technical guys, you know, that on paper could sometimes put on boring fights. What we have is a good mix, man. I mean, we've got guys that are very technical, that are going to show very high skill levels, but still put on exciting, fast paced fights. And then we've got some brawlers and bangers, like you get in Newport, that put on a good, they just stand and they trade, and it's exciting, and somebody's going to go down. And so this is one of those fight cards that, you know, that it will deliver some action. So, make sure you check it out on Flow Combat this weekend. If you can't make it to Newport, if you can make it to Newport, I promise a good time.
Well, it goes down this Saturday night, Newport, Tennessee, at the Cock County High School. It's Valor Fights 42. You heard the rundown. Now get your tickets now at fightertix.com. If you can't make it out, be sure to order on Flow Combat at flowcombat.com. It's going to be a great night of action. Tim, it's been great to have you on, as always. And of course, Vince, I can't wait to call the action. Everybody, please tune in, because this is one event that you won't want to miss. It's Casey Oxenden, Tim Loy, and Vince Farrar for the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
Jerry Jones is trying to get the NFL to ease up on the marijuana laws. It's about time now, people, just in general. Let me tell you how the marijuana laws work in the league. A lot of people don't really understand how it works. A lot of people, the funny part is, I didn't understand how it worked while I played. I understand now. This is what I played. It's a little different now, I believe. You know you're going to get drug tested in July during training camp. So July training camp usually started the last week of July, so July 25th, something like that. So you know that the first day or second day of training camp, so July 26th, you're going to get drug tested by the NFL. You knew this. You don't get drug tested the whole offseason. You know July 26th, you're going to get drug tested. Therefore, June 26th, you stop smoking. Now I'm going to preface it by saying this. I didn't smoke it at that time. I didn't say I'm not smoking it now, but I didn't smoke it at that time. I was scared of, you know, just the stress of the whole thing. So I would watch everybody around me with a month left stop smoking and taking what you got to clear your system out. The day they do the drug tests on July 26th during training camp, that night, everybody is high as giraffe pussy because they haven't been high for a month. Fact. And the rest of the season, they can smoke every day, all day. So how? What is that doing? If you're just stopping people from smoking for 1 month, it's not doing anything whatsoever.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.